The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a streaming radio 24/7, and go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Free ebook. You will be seeing a brand new version of that shortly. Each paragraph now has 5 brand new bullet points to it. That will be coming out when the website is up. We are relaunching everything. Also, too, we've got a brand new ebook. It's a 30-day platform to train on. It's something that you can keep expanding on. It's going to take the squat and the bench press, and I call it a floor press. Concentrate on the conventional style, but you're going to learn how to do a quarter squat, and you're going to learn how to do a lockout. Now, the best thing about this is I incorporated sandbags in the middle of the week. It's a lot of the stuff we do here, and I also got the special one I use for lifting stones that I do with sandbags. It's pretty interesting. On Monday and Friday when you're doing the weight work, there's going to be a sandbag routine at the end of each workout. And it's mainly to carry. Excuse me. Once you can learn how to carry, you're going to be that much better of a lifter, trainer, whatever you're into. So that's going to all be incorporated in that. Also, go out to, where do I want to go? Strength times power equals success and the winner's circle. They're all out there on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. If you like what we talk about here, they're very inexpensive, but they're very, like everything here, content rich. And you can always get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'd be glad to help anybody that purchases the product. We just had Jeffrey Smith on here, for instance. I've built a program for him for a year now. When he first started, he wanted to do dead stop squats, which means you start with no rebound at parallel position. The most he could even move was 150 pounds, weighing about 180. I think he's about 185 right now. He just did a double squat, meaning the other day he did a 303 dead stop squat in 1 year. That's what we do here, man. That is incredible. Most people couldn't double their squat in 10 years. 1 year I did that with him. So that's what we're doing here. We are pulling some big stuff off. Wait till you see the squat work I'm going to be teaching everybody. I've developed a squat within a squat in the power rack. I don't know anybody that's done this, and it is devastating. So stay tuned. Cold weather's coming. Here we go. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com. And today, we got our good friend James Fuller on here. And you can go out. This is what I've been trying to tell people. Go out and look at anything I've done with James, all right? I would guarantee you, if I was a betting man here, I bet he and I probably have done enough shows to fill a small book. But a book that's so loaded with content and ways to do things, that's what I'm saying. It's a totally different thing from what's out there. And you got to believe me when I tell you that. Go out. I'm looking at some of the stuff. The last one we did was called Heavy Dumbbells, Power Rack and Thick Bar, Ruthless Iron. Those are just some of them today. And before I bring James in here, we're going to talk about the passing of Norbert Szymanski, and we're going to get into some muscular bulk. That's old Anthony DiTillo talk, among many others. And we're going to get into this stuff because, once again, we like the old stuff, which doesn't mean it's always right, wrong, or what's in between. But James and I have had plenty of experience with this stuff. And when you think about bulk, just don't think about putting tons of body weight on. We're going to talk about some of the movements that create the most mass, and et cetera, et cetera. Before I bring James in, I want to give you a little bit about him. He's an all-around lifter. master of the bent press, and he's a grip extraordinaire. James, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Anytime, man. Anything I missed, lay it out there.
No, sounds good. I like to lift just about anything I can, whether it's on the barbell or not. And if I've never done it before, that's probably the exercise lift I love the most is the one I've never done before, because I have no idea what it's going to do to me, and I'm not going to just look at a picture or a book and make an assumption. I'm going to go out and try it.
Oh, you're not going to watch 500 videos and then maybe decide to do it?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, that's the trend, though. You and I both know that. Well, I just need one more video or one more article.
No, the trend is to watch the video, make fun of it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and do it.
Yeah, that's true. Or tell them that there's no way you lifted that because they've tried and they've never been able to do it. But you know what? Here we don't even care about that. The family members we bring in here and our existing family, they understand it. They're willing to try it. And I couldn't be happier because they're the ones that are going to really stay motivated and make big, big records. I know we lost a great lifter this week. A York barbell guy, the guy with the famous quote, well, how do I get stronger over head pressing? And I believe it was like a one-word press. And we lost a great lifter, Norbert Szymanski, this week. So tell everybody out there what he meant to you, you know, as a strong man, as an odd object man. Give us a little history about him, if you like, and what it was that you saw in him that we probably don't see a lot in the lifters of today.
Norbert Szymanski passed away this week, 93 years old. He was the first weightlifter to win Olympic medals in three Olympics, I believe. No, four Olympics. It was impressive in so many ways, it's hard to begin. Think about it. He became the third man to clean and jerk the original Apollon's axle. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yep.
And he cleaned it double overhand. So he just, I think his words were, lean down, grip it like hell, and pull.
You got to love that, right,
oh, yeah,
man?
Yeah, and what's really
who talks like that anymore?
Well, not enough people. What's really interesting about the guy is he's known for these short quips, very gruff demeanor. A lot of people thought he was a little rough around the edges. And what no one seems to remember or talk about is the guy had a 190 IQ.
Yeah,
the guy was brilliant. Well, you don't you know, morons don't win the Olympics. And
no.
Especially in weightlifting. I mean, what are you, 28 when you considered past tense in Olympic weightlifting these days?
Oh, yeah, easily.
30, you're definitely the old man. This guy got his last Olympic medal, bronze, at 42 years old.
Yep.
This is after his second back surgery. Now,
that's what I was going to say, yeah.
My father had back surgery in the 80s, and they were butchers then.
Yeah.
Some back surgery in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
And this guy came back from two back surgeries and still got bronze for the next two Olympics.
Yep.
I mean, he was an animal.
Yeah, he was.
Just insane. And he was split snatching 363 pounds.
Yep.
So he was still a splitter. He was one of the last of the great splitters. This guy was clean and jerking double body weight in the early 50s at about 198 pounds.
Jesus.
He did all these great things. I mean, he really was just as strong mentally and physically.
Yep.
I mean, it just, and that's the thing is you if you want to be the best that you can be, if you want to be the strongest SOB in the gym, in the room, in life, you are going to have to work on your mental game.
Oh,
that fear stuff has got to go out the window. Forget about fear.
Oh, yeah.
Fear is just a distraction. The weight is a distraction. It's all a distraction. What someone else did, that's a distraction.
Yep.
You need to, like he did, bend down, grip it like hell, and pull. And that's what you need to do every time. Well, it's heavy. It's supposed to be heavy. That's what we do.
Exactly. You know the thing, this is what I admire about a guy like him. And you and I talk about this all the time. When you use simplicity with things and you really understand what's going on, things become so much easier for you. Something as simple as, say, grab a bar and basically pull it with everything you got. I mean, no one, well, other than us on these shows, you don't hear people talk like that anymore. And I don't know if it's due to they're afraid they're going to offend somebody, or they just don't understand what they're doing, or they just figure, like a lot of people, it's like, well, you know, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it a try, and if I don't get it, well, you know, that's the way it is. And I hear that all the time. I was telling, I think it was Will Dinwiddie the other day, James, you'll love this. I ran into some friends of mine from college. Just no plan, just ran into them, right? And we were all pretty good friends, I guess, at one time. You know, New York, we're ball busters to the end. You know, there were sometimes even fist fights with guys. It was just the way it was because it would just get too damn rotten, man. And one guy says to me, Joe, says like this to me, "You still lifting?" And I looked at him. I said, "No." Like, and he goes, "Well," he goes, "you still look like you're doing." I said to him like this. I was like, "Joe, forgive me for saying this to you, but I said, you're one of the dumbest effing assholes I've ever met in my life." And he's like, this, "Well, you know, there's a certain point that you have to get over that stuff." And this is what got me really irate the other day, because Will and I were basically talking about how do you stay motivated to go. You know, you get in your 30s, 40s now. You know, we've got listeners of all ages. Eventually, we'll be in our 50s, 60s, 70s. And I said, and I've had this, I think, even with you. I said, lifting is not separate from me. And they looked at me like I was a friggin' mental patient. And they're like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Lifting is DNA." And we got into this with my brother last week. We had a great conversation about guys that we went through with training, you know, that would stay for a little while and then they either broke or came up with 10 million excuses. We are convinced, I've said this since the beginning of M&M, it is in our DNA. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if when we're falling out of the clouds, you know, is there somebody sprinkling weightlifting DNA dust on us or what? And I said to him, there's no separation from the gym to me standing here talking to you. And I think intellectually they can't grasp it, but I'm going to spell it out to everybody quickly. I want to get what you think on it, and we can finish off anything with Norbert. This is how I see it now more than ever. Mainly because of the amount of pressure on the other end to make the business as big and to go and profitable and work so many things I want to do and get so many people involved here. It's a lot all the time, but I love it. And there would be none of this without the gym, period. None. Will and I were talking about this the other day. This is the only barometer I can read myself fully on is when I go out there and whatever happens sets my ass straight from whatever happened in here. It's in my blood. It's always going to be in my blood. It's like, you know, we talk about the iron, you know, the iron in the blood, lifting iron, lifting stone, whatever we're doing, odd lifts, big lifts, small lifts, whatever suits your fancy. You know, like the other, like last weekend, pushing a tire for the first time in probably 4 or 5 years with that injury and fixing on that bicep. It used to make it feel bunchy when I was doing it. I'm not messing around with that thing anymore. I don't want to have to go and ever have anything touched like that again. So, to make a long story short, lifting is in your DNA if you're truly a lifter. I don't know how it comes in. I don't know if it's when you're a baby, it's there. It's just waiting for some reason to come the hell out of you. And the only separation that happens to me is I'm not lifting weights out in the street or whatever, but I guarantee you the majority of people you're going to meet, whether you know or not know, the subject of weightlifting is always going to come up, whether it's like you're still doing it or how's things going with it, how you feeling, blah, 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 blah. Give me your thoughts on that. Do you feel as an established lifter, as a successful lifter, and someone that really knows what the hell he's talking about, what is your feelings on that? Or are you just pulling it out of the fucking air and getting lucky?
Oh, wow. I wish I was pulling it out of the air and getting lucky. Holy.
Me too.
Oh, man. Well, I think first things first, well, I like not being in jail. I really like it. I think it's great. So what I do is I make sure every day I conduct my life in a way that someone's not going to come after me, put some handcuffs on, and want to play hide the nightstick, put me in jail.
Yep.
Lifting is the same way. I do a lot of stuff that freaks people out.
Yep.
But there is a method to the madness, and I can explain to you how I'm doing what I'm doing without getting hurt. Because if I get hurt, as guys in my strongman group would tell you, that one of my favorite sayings is on how to get strong. Number one, don't get hurt. What do you mean? If you get hurt, you can't train. You can't train, you don't get stronger. So don't get hurt. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's this way. I mean, this is how I see people. People seem to fall into two camps.
Yep.
Of either complacency, or they're looking for all the things that comfort them and that make them feel better. Some of those people have had a really rough, abusive upbringing. And so I get where they've had enough struggle in life. They don't want anymore. And I get that. And there are some people who just think life is about being comfortable all the time. Their shoes are comfortable. The pants are comfortable. The car is comfortable. The relationship they're in is comfortable. Nothing is pushing them. And those people seem to be quite happy doing that. And that's okay. Just don't be upset when I'm not that way. Seems like people like you and I like pressure.
Yep.
Pressure on coal. It's a trite saying, but it takes tons of pressure to take that piece of coal and make it a diamond.
Yep.
Diamond is not only beautiful and valuable, but it's also used on drill bits because it's one of the hardest substances on Earth.
Yep.
So it's not just for looks necessarily, because I think bodybuilders who go for a look also go through a lot of determination and hard work. And I think our strength athletes tease them and they tease us.
Yep.
But there's a mutual respect there that we know that what they do hurts. It's not comfortable, but it's not supposed to be. It's like the strongman chairman here in Maine, Danny Genesio, would say, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Sure.
But it's not easy, and it's not supposed to be easy. Anything worth having isn't easy. How much would this podcast, how much would this business be worth to you? If you just did it for a week, rolled out of bed one morning, I'm getting 1 million viewers a day.
Yeah.
You know, what did you have to do to get it? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like these guys and girls I've worked with that are natural at being strong. Well, that's a curse because they'll finally hit something that is hard and they know how to strain. They don't know how to push. They don't know how to deal with not getting it, getting the weight. Whereas, damn it, I've done that my whole life. I've been a wimp my whole life. I've just slowly climbed up the ladder.
Yep.
I'm happy with, I can, you know, if I only get 5 pounds, it's a 5 pound PR. I'll take it. I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had the luxury of it coming easy to me. But, you know, at a point, let's say you're motivated when you're younger, either girls, sports, or both. Right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, chasing tail or chasing the ball in the field, either way, that lifting's going to help you do it better.
Hell yeah.
You get older. You get to this point. You can't stop lifting.
No.
You get used to the pressure. You get used to the pain.
Yeah.
If something doesn't hurt, or if it doesn't hurt enough, you're like, this isn't right. I got to go out and hurt myself.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean. I mean.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Listeners, I'm not saying hurt yourself, but you got to be stiff. You got to be sore.
And not only that, you're going to hurt yourself mentally. That's what you're going to do. You're going to have to rise and rise and rise to stuff. And, you know, and I'll get right back to you, James. The thing, I can't say this enough, all right? And I've been saying it like crazy, and it's because of my college professor, Frank Klein. And I've been saying this now for a week, and I'm probably going to say it for the next 30 years. Repetition, repetition, repetition. That I mean it. Saying that word, however much you want to say it, I'm telling you right now, it goes to everything we're talking about here. It is repetition. And if you can't take repeated repetition over and over and digging yourself out of a hole, whatever you're doing, you're not staying in this sport. And see what's happened. I'm going to answer this quick, and then I'm going to give it to you and let you finish what we were talking about. James mentioned he didn't like jail. I don't either. And I can tell you, I've talked to people about this off air. I've never talked about this on air much. What do you do if you don't do this anymore? Where's that energy and power go? It's going to go somewhere. And if it's going to go for no good, you're going to be in big trouble. This takes – lifting does one big thing to me that, thank God, it does. It diffuses me. And I, you know, when you're out there pushing weight like that, when you're so fired up, all right, fired up that nothing's going to stop you or hold you down, where does that go if you're not out there with doing the war on the weights or the stones or whatever? I'm telling you right now, there's just no way. I don't know. I mean, the business can take so much of that up, and it takes a ton of mental energy to run this every day, but it's different. It's different than going out and saying, okay, you know, what am I going to press overhead tonight? Or what am I going to pull off the ground? Or is this goddamn stone going to break my spine in half? I love that, man. I dig that. I eat it. I want it. It's like electricity coming through me. Take it, because I'm going to start talking about this, and it'll take me a week to tell you.
I know a lot of lifters that, you know, I've said, man, what would you do if you weren't doing this? Like, I'd be in jail.
Me too. I know I would. I the first person that cut me off, I'd chase them down, and I'd beat their head right through the ground.
Well, it's funny because, and I'm no disrespect to professional athletes. None at all. So do not read this the wrong way. But how many times have we heard of professional male athletes here in the U.S. retire?
Yep.
What are they doing? They're getting in trouble with the law.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them get in trouble while they're still professional athletes. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, there are – we come from – I don't care how sophisticated or civilized we are. We come from clans of protecting our families, protecting our livestock, and protecting our clan.
Yep.
That's what we do. That is our heritage. There has to be an outlet for that. You know why? Because we got these things called hormones.
Oh, yeah.
They make us horny, and they make us want to fight.
Yep.
That's what they do. That's what they do. It is a part of us. And until somehow we get rid of hormones, which I hope I'm long gone before we get to that point, if we get to that point, you got to control these hormones. You've got to find an outlet for them. You have to. You must. I just can't imagine, you know, you're going to go stir crazy, literally.
Hey, dude, you go stir crazy with them, and when you go out there, you know, you're like me, you're outside. That adds more to the adventure. You're not in anything that's, you know, controlled environmentally inside where, hey, you know, it's 70 degrees in here in the winter or 65 and it takes the edge off, or in the summer, no one's running air conditioning out in your driveway where you're lifting everything. Same way with the garage, same way with my driveway. It was hotter than hell last night out there. And I mean, it was once again another one of those workouts with, even with a bandana on, I had to keep wiping the sweat out of my eyes. I could not, and I repeat, I couldn't see in between sets. And when I was doing a set, I couldn't see. The water was just flowing into my eyes. You could see, I would stand there, and there'd be a puddle under me. All right?
Yep.
So all these things, you know, we talk about, you know, we got our outlet. We don't want any trouble, all that. Well, that's great. Add in the elements, though. Go out when it's 20 below. Go out when we do. And we do it on purpose usually, too. Sometimes we're not even scheduled for a workout. If it starts snowing and we got like 6 inches on the ground, I'll call my brother-in-law up and I'll say, can you get over? Yes, maybe no. If he doesn't, I still do it. I turn all the spotlights on and I'm walking that stone in the snow. Might stumble. It doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt me. It's going to hit the snow. I might fall over it, laugh my ass off, get some snow down the back of my neck and start all over again. There's so many attributes to this stuff that is so overlooked that I can't believe not everybody in the world isn't doing shit like we're doing.
Well, it's about accepting.
Yep.
You got to accept it. It's like when it rains, I'm not one of these people that, let's say it starts raining and I get out of my car and I'm heading to the grocery store. I don't run because, number one, you're going to get wet whether you walk or run. And number two, it's just rain. And as any ex of mine will tell you, I'm not made out of anything that's going to melt in water. And I don't know if I get it from my parents, because I am not like them in many ways. My temperament is just off the charts compared to them. They're pacifist.
Yep.
And I am
I don't know if I'm just trying to make up for the fact, like making up for the fact that I've got pacifist parents by being the opposite of that. You know, I got to make up for these two and balance it out. I don't know. But you accept it. It's like I helped a friend of mine once. He was talking about I won't be able to do overhead lifting because I have to do my training in my cellar because this winter's coming and I live in Michigan. And I'm like, but dude, you have a garage.
No shit. Go rent a garage.
He's like, yeah, but it's not insulated. I'm like, dude, you see me out in the driveway in the wintertime. Brother, I love you, but come on.
Yeah. Grow a set of balls, man.
Well, you're in a garage. You're protected from the wind. I mean, once you start warming up in there, your body heat's going to heat up a bunch of that area. It's a small garage, so, you know, so start huffing and puffing and making some heat. And he's like, you know, and then, you know, a month later he's into it and he's like, you know, you're right. Instead of limiting my training fine, I'll just move it inside the garage for the winter.
You know what I think we're going to have to do next year? I think we're going to have to create a company where we're going to go around and do that for people. Teach them how to basically go outside, fix their garage, get their shit together, and learn how to lift weights. How's that for a marketing business?
Consultation. Yeah. How to lift like a man. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. You know, it's you just have to accept your surroundings. You can either make excuses or make reasons why you're going to succeed. It's up to you. I mean, it's you can have all the – you can, Eric, you and I could have all the best excuses in the world of why we couldn't work out today or – tomorrow or whatever.
Yep.
Well, guess what?
Yep.
Great. Those were great excuses. Did you get any stronger? No.
Nope.
So,
James, not only that, I truly believe unless you're really, really hurt or you're really exhausted, and we all go through that. You know that mechanism in you when you say, I'm not going to lift tonight, and then maybe 20 minutes later, your body's telling you need to go out and do it. It's a very interesting thing. I haven't faced that many times, but I know because I've done that to myself. I'd get home or something. I'd be tired, and I knew that I had to lift that night, and I've given 100 reasons why I shouldn't, and maybe I'll kind of settle at that point, but I guarantee you 20 minutes later, the bugle is sounded and said, let's go, boy. Go get ready. Let's put the Tiger Bomb on, get dressed, and go out. I do it every time.
Oh, yeah. And
every time.
I think I've mentioned on the show before, probably more than once, but it's absolutely true. I learned this a long time ago. Almost all of my best workouts, and I mean literally almost all of my best workouts, were workouts I was going to skip. I felt like crap. I had every great excuse, or at least enough good excuses, that if I didn't go train, I wasn't going to feel bad about it.
Yep.
But I would say, just go mess around with this. You got a meet coming up. Just work on some technique with one of these lifts.
Yep.
Well, the pressure's off. You're not putting any pressure on you must do this, and that's the problem with the program sometimes. So the pressure's off. You go out there and you start messing around. Yeah, this is feeling good. Yeah, this is feeling good. Next set, you throw a little weight on. Yeah, this is feeling really good. You know, I set my first world record. I broke my first world record by 25 pounds on one lift because I simply said, screw it, I'm just going to go fool around, and fooling around became more weight. Next thing you know, I'm looking up the world record. Oh, 319. Oh, let's put 325 on there. Oh, that flew up. Let's put another 20 pounds on there. Oh, that flew up. All right.
Yep.
I just outdid the world record by a bunch of weight. But if you had told me that I was going to do that when I got there, I would have said, you're screwed. And I would have been screwed.
Exactly.
So when you feel like the worst, or that old saying, it's always darkest before the dawn, it's true with lifting.
Sure is.
It's absolutely true. You remember back along, you were talking about earlier in the show, you were talking about maybe, you know, not understanding why people want to be complicated with their training solutions. There's something I wanted to say about that is that I ran into something this week and somebody said, well, obviously what you're doing is obviously you're professional and that it's a complicated thing you're doing. And I said, No, it's not. This is the reason why I'm talking about it, is because everyone was wanting a simple solution. This is simple. This is as simple as it gets.
Yep.
And I couldn't tell if I quite offended the guy, and of course I don't mean to. But I think to answer where you were going is sometimes I think people, when they're fighting for something that's complicated, I'm wondering if they got a program they're selling.
Oh, without a doubt, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And I would be a horrible salesman on my own. I can sell you on why it works, but I'm not telling you to to shell out a bunch of money, you know. And at some point, I probably will, but at this point, I'm not. Because,
yeah, but I don't think you know something? I think you can still make a profit, but you don't have to make them shell out their friggin' gold teeth for it either.
No,
you know?
Right.
But, well, you know, like today, all right? I usually wouldn't say no to anybody, but today, Alex and Dennis were over here. We've got three different tires now. They're flipping, okay? And it's probably 50 feet and 50 back in around that vicinity. And they're all varying sizes. And I'm looking at Alex, man, and I've noticed in just the last couple weeks, the musculature on this kid is starting to pop. And all we're doing is basically doing a big body weight warm-up, and we're flipping three tires. But, you know, they're doing 5 to 10 rounds where, like, I'm running them like they're fucking – it's their last bit of life in them. A lot of neck work, a lot of medicine ball work, and a lot of power wheel work, all right? He just sent me a note before I came on here. He's like, I've never eaten so much in my life after I got home. I'm great because I said I expect you to be 170 pounds when you come here next Saturday. The point of the matter is the stuff I've done with them, both of them, is very simplistic but very, very direct. And when I say direct, I mean not only physically direct, mentally direct, because they have to engage with that tire all the time. It's not something you're just going to go in, I'll do 50 flips and I'm done. No, because that tire at times can get a little squirrely on you and not go straight in front of you, and, you know, you got to go and shift and get it to move. But most of all, it is dogging you at every turn, man. You get down there, you got to friggin' come back with it. You're standing there for a second trying to get your wind, and you know your mind's going through all types of fluctuations at that point, let alone your body. And that's one of the things I feel with a tire that is one of the best things I've ever dealt with. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story, and we'll get right back to you because you'll appreciate this. I've become Martin Janzicks, who's probably one of the best stone lifters in the world. He lives in Scotland, and I met him through Bill Crawford when they just went over and did a big documentary with David Webster, and I believe Rogue was in on it. And we're going to find out what it's all about. I'm going to have him on, and I'm going to have Bill on very shortly. And I guess they had gone out to lift the famous stones in Scotland we know about, but there was quite a few of them, I guess, that had been rumored that they were going to search for, and I don't know any more about it. And we've become pretty friendly through Facebook, and we talked last week for about an hour and a half, just talked on Skype. He's top of the world guy. I mean, you talk about a gentleman. And he doesn't even know me, and he's offered he invited me over to lift with him next year on a stone tour, which we might be putting a package together and trying to get people to go in May or June of next year, where Martin would meet me in Iceland, and then we'd go right from Iceland to his home in Scotland. And if Adam Glass goes, Adam and I might go to Wales too, but it's kind of just up in the air right now. But to make a long story short, he believes tire flipping is one of the probably the best movement or close to the best for success with stones. This guy, and I don't know how long his intervals are because we've been talking about a lot of training, he'll take a 500-pound tire and flip it for 2.5 hours. Now,
wow.
That is some serious-ass shit we're talking, all right? And here's the clincher of all, James. He got very interested in stones, I believe, when he saw the Inver. Do you believe that was the first stone he put on his shoulder, the Inver? I mean, wow. You talk about a kick-ass dude. And not only that, he's a friggin' nice guy, man. I mean, I'm talking no cockiness about him. You know, nothing like, oh, I'm this, that, I'm that. I mean, he is as down-to-earth can be. So when you get these type of people involved, whether they're in the show, in your life, or whatever, you know, we're talking about greats like Norbert Shemansky. Different style, obviously, but to me, you know what? Lifting is lifting, man. I don't care what you lift. You're a lifter. We share all that. this is what we've got to keep pushing out there. We've got to get everybody that we know of and some interested in this stuff. And we've got the expertise here. We've got the interest here. And all we got to do now is just keep growing, 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 and getting bigger. So take it. I
think what's going to happen is that you're going to get more and more people that have bought the Flavor of the Month program from the Flavor of the Month trainer.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just going to happen over time. It's going to weed itself out. You know, the only time I get into it with anybody online is when some jack-off with an alphabet next to his name, which I'm not against, but let me finish with the – some jack-off with an alphabet next to his name is telling some 14- or 15-year-old kid a bunch of crap.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, no, give him a 300-pound weight set or a 400-pound weight set.
Yep.
No, you don't need a power rack. Yeah, it'd be great, but you know what? I guarantee you, if you rock it on your shoulders like Steinboard did back in the 20s, you're never, ever going to put more weight on your shoulders to squat than you would. Because how many times have we been to a gym and you see some kid put way more weight on a bar to pick it up off the racks and get buried on a squat?
Oh, yeah.
You're never going to see that with a Steinboard.
Nope.
You're just not. Because you're going to have to push them to put more weight on there because it's going to intimidate them, but it's going to strengthen their core. By tipping it onto their shoulders like that, they're going to learn to control the weight. So that's the time I get upset, is when people are just giving out crap information, you know.
Yep.
And you're sitting there and you're twice their age, and you're a lot stronger than they are, a lot more flexible than they are. It's like, you don't know nothing yet. All you've done is gone to school, which is great, but come on. How much training have you done? How much competing have you done? And competing is important.
Yeah.
You know, learn to push yourself. Learn to put yourself out there where it's not so comfortable. It's not supposed to be comfortable. We lift weights. You know, we bust a gut. We strain. We hurt. That's what we do. I think it's just frustrating. And I know that enough people are going to see the things that work and things that don't.
Yep.
The proof's going to be in the pudding. The biggest thing I can do to sell you on what we do is – come train with me for a month and see how much better you feel.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to know what hit them.
Yeah, it's how easy it is. It really is easy. And the biggest strength secret, you want, aside from hard work, the biggest secret to success, getting stronger, we all know, all of us, and I don't care how long you've been lifting, I don't care how short of a time it is, you know that there's something you'll be doing in your training and you'll say, thank God I don't have to do that for five. I'm glad we only had threes. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Next time, make yourself do fives. Or I'm glad I don't have front squats for a couple of weeks. Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Maybe you ought to nail front squats. Whatever you're running away from, and whenever you start thinking, I'm so glad I didn't have to do, and then you finish it with whatever lift it is or how many reps it is, that's your weakness. That's your mental barrier you're putting up. You need to run after that like it's two naked chicks.
Okay? Yeah.
Two hot naked chicks. You need to run after that and conquer whatever that is. And, I mean, I do it all the time. You have to do it. Don't let yourself get those mental barriers of, well, I'm glad it's not a 20-rep set of squats. Well, maybe you need to do some 20-rep set of squats. Because when you talked about him flipping that 500-pound tire for 2.5 hours, okay. Aside from that being from another planet, think about the mental capacity that man has now.
Oh,
what scares him? Godzilla, maybe, but that's about it.
Yep.
You know, nothing in the weight room is going to intimidate him ever again.
No.
So what are you and I doing, and what is everyone else listening doing so that when you step into that gym, you have no fear of whatever's going to get thrown at you?
Yep.
You know, some guy could come up who can read your mind and knows what scares the crap out of you and says, hey, let's do a bunch of this, and you can go, sure, bring it.
Yeah, bring it all the way. No, exactly. It's, you know something? You could organize a small book. It probably wouldn't have to be any more than even 20 pages. It all depends what you fancy with lifting. But the way you could build the whole structure of the book and the outline of the book, yeah, you could add chapters to it. You could add things like I'm doing now with what you're playing around with it and everything. But the bottom line is build the base and then build what you want upon it. Now, there are some movements I think that got more bang for the buck. But maybe that's me and it's not you. And that's what you got to find out. But if you think you're going to spend $500, $1,000 for this miracle weight training, and then obviously they're going to suck you into buying either the food or the supplements or both. Bud Jeffries was telling me on our last show or the show before that, because we were really railing on Hollywood, because, you know, with all the superhero movies now, all these clowns got to get ripped and in shape, if you want to use that word. And, you know, they pay – well, they're not paying. It's the studio, I'm sure. Personal trainer, $500 a day or more. It's like, really? And they get all their food for them and everything. I'm like, this is how they see somebody in shape and strong. They've got a six-pack of abs, and they're right there. And that's the biggest load of shit you've ever seen. I've seen these guys. I've seen guys in my area. Normally, they have no legs. They're going to probably have pecs and arms, because that's really all they care about training. If you're doing legs, it's strictly on a leg press or some type of hack machine. But you're not going to see any spinal erectors on them. You're not going to see any big developed glutes or hamstrings. And surely, if they're lucky, their calves will be about 12 inches with a tape around them. Now, and they'll have a chicken neck. Don't forget that, because remember, having a big neck is not aesthetically pleasing, supposedly, to people. And you better not have any type of waist, whether it's muscular or not, because then they would think that you're fat. So I got news for you. You get in a brawl with somebody and you got a chicken waist to go with your chicken legs. First shot they deliver to you, the head, the chin, the jaw, you're down and you're out. Bang. Goodbye. That's it. So what you do and what you buy into is going to deeply affect how you're going to gain, how you're going to survive. Because the one thing I love about lifting is called survival. When you go out into the concrete jungle, like I said, you better have some form of survival, because the world is becoming more and more of a violent place out there. And I hope I'm not informing anybody of this for the first time, because I don't want you to crawl under your bed shaking. I'm telling you right now, kids, you have kids, you have nieces and nephews like myself, I always do little things with them. Never push them. But always do little, whether it's carrying bricks, lifting little stones, whether we're playing dodgeball, whether we're sitting out there for an hour hitting wiffle balls all over the yard, next door in the yard. And they come and get me. Usually I don't even make it in the house before, you want to go out and play wiffle ball? I'm like, yep. Why? Because I want them to have a sense of athletics, number one. But number two, I want to test them. I want to just keep, not let them quit when they've had enough or they're not doing well and they get all upset. I go and calm them right down, put my hand on their shoulder, bend down because they're all small, and say, you know something, we're going to give it another try, and I guarantee you're going to put it out in that yard. I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, they put it out in that yard. You know what that's called? The power of suggestion. But it's more than anything, because, see, they believe in you. Okay? And anybody that believes in you is going to be a hell of a lot worth more than some goddamn $1,000 product that basically you're going to piss everything out or shit everything out because your system can't handle it. And the next thing you know, every joint on you is going to hurt. Then you're going to get that lower back injury, or you're going to pull this and pull that, and the next thing you know, you're on the shelf. Go ahead, man. Take it.
No, it's interesting. You can definitely tell who's selling you something, because it's going to be their way.
Yeah.
I'm starting training tomorrow, a young woman for Olympic weightlifting.
Oh, cool.
She's a CrossFitter, but yep. I don't believe they have really very good Olympic instruction, Olympic weightlifting instruction. And she's talked to me a few times and likes how I approach it. But when I go and work with her tomorrow, it's about, how does that work for her? How does this hand position work for her? How does this catching and receiving in the rack position work for her? It's not James Fuller saying, well, this is the James Fuller way, and it's either that or there's the door. No, it's, all right, we got to find your body leverages. We got to find what works for your strengths. Get a, you know, work, bring up some weaknesses, and basically find what scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And work on what scares the shit out of you. Because if we work on what scares the shit out of you and we conquer it, everything else is gravy.
You win.
So how can that be in one program? It can't.
It can't. And not only that, they've got a guy, you know, I know you well enough from the show and talking to you offline. You take an interest in people. See, it's the little things they don't talk about which really matter more than lifting the weights. Okay, now she sees fundamentally that you believe in her. That's a huge thing. That's a self-confidence builder. She sees that you're not going to let her quit, even if you got to raise your voice, if you got to get a little aggressive. At least she's going to know you give a damn shit about her, okay? So I just named two of the things. And, you know, you show up on time.
Yeah.
You know, when it's business, you instruct, she's going to listen. Those are the things they don't put in the $1,000 program. And they don't know it, believe me. It's the guys and girls that are outside that are exposed to all kinds of elements, to all kinds of different training. And I don't even like calling them failures. I'll just say a learning experience.
Yeah.
When you're out doing that day after day, year after year, how can't you be a great trainer, man?
Yeah.
And if you can convey a message, which you can, she's got that in her corner, man. You're right. You get them believing in themselves, and they are like a runaway locomotive. You'll have to try to put the brakes on to slow them down because now they have found something that they're getting better and better with. It instructs the body mentally, physically, and internally that, hey, you know, we got something here, and no matter what happens, we're going to complete this. This is what the essence of, to me, of what physical strength is. They like to call it culture, but, you know, it really is a physical strength, and it embodies everything from head to toe and internally, and I can't say that enough. And the thing is, it's like any field. There's a ton of people that do what we do, but really, what percentage do you really think have success? What percentage are really that good? And what percentage really give a shit about you? Okay, cheers, brother.
No, it's true, and it's I let people ask me questions or say I don't think this is a good idea, you know, and why is this and that? They're not confrontational, but I think they just need to understand, you know. And a lot of people will get upset when you ask them why this way, why that way. Now I've told people before, if your trainer gets upset, move on, find someone else, because
no good.
If you believe what you believe and you know why you believe what you believe.
Yep.
And you want to show people the beauty and the passion of what you do, you're more than glad to explain why we're doing it this way and not that way.
Yeah.
And if you want to try it that way, you're someone that needs to kind of stub their toe before you'll listen, fine, go stub your toe. I don't care. It's not my toe. I have.
Yep.
You know? So I will say the hard part is that YouTube has really made it a lot harder because people will say, well, I saw her on YouTube. I'm almost getting ready to institute I saw it on YouTube charge. I don't want to treat it on YouTube. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
YouTube's not right here. It's your workout. It's you that's going to be on a lifting platform. And sometimes I have to just go, all right, do you honestly think what you're about to do is going to help on meat day, yes or no?
Yeah.
Probably not. Well, then why are you doing it?
Exactly.
Let's not do that.
Exactly.
Let's put that into something that's going to get you closer to your meat.
Yep.
Just, you know, I said, but that's okay. Do what you want. I'm not the one that's going to look like an asshole on the platform.
Well, yeah. Build your
goals. I say that, but they know it's true.
Yeah. Build your goals, man. Before you walk into anything with anybody, you have to have defined goals that are clear and present and ready to go. You know, organization, especially with Alex I've done here, I never let up on him. If I see him even when he's writing stuff, I said, what are you doing, man? Be like, I'm writing it. I said, you don't look like you're being very attentive to it. I want you to really concentrate on what you're doing. And he'll look at me like, what the fuck? Well, all these things I'm teaching you, these skills are going to go into your personal life. And without even thinking about it, it's going to be a reaction all the time. The teachers of what we do, yes, of course, it's important to lift and be successful, but the direct training you're getting to learn how to do things, you're never going to find in anything unless it's us doing it. And I mean that. And that means everybody in this whole family organization. Everybody on here is a stickler for detail. And the majority of everybody on here come across very well. I'm sure they're all good trainers. But you're going to have to go through a number of things sometimes to find that golden nugget. And that's where you got to be careful. You don't get hurt or bamboozled, or you get a really bad feeling for what we love and do here, because it can really turn you the other way if you're screwed over. And that's what I think a lot of our profession is dealing with people is, you know, we can't get a lot of people at times to come on board. Why? Because they're going to say, this is just another one of blah, 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 blah. I got news for you, everybody out there. This is not blah, blah, blah here. We're direct. We'd punch you right in the fucking nose if we got to get your attention. My point is this. Sometimes you have to do a few drastic things to get to where you got to get. And sometimes that's going to require you to maybe eat a little bit of pavement and, you know, swallow your pride a little bit. You can do things like that. You can have massive success. But it's up to you. I can't do it. James can't do it. We can only do so much for you. But the end result is, what do you want to do? How much time are you going to put in it? And really, what is your core belief system, your standards? All right, brother. Cheers.
Well, I would say if you want the one thing to look at, the trainer, yep, whether it's online, whether it's in person, or if it's a book you read or an ebook or someone's channel on YouTube or Facebook page, number one, the biggest thing you need to think and realize, yep, is this trainer helping me learn how to train myself?
Mm-hmm.
If anybody can follow a program,
yep,
I'm pretty sure a dog could follow a program. Okay? So yep, is this person helping you get more confident in understanding yourself, what you're going to need, and how to use the tools, and when's the right time to use them?
Yep.
If they're helping you do that, great. Stay there. Stay there the rest of your life if you can.
Yeah.
You know? But that's a big thing people miss out on. I mean, if I don't think it's talked about a lot, but if you're going to do this thing, if you're going to get stronger, you're going to have to learn what makes you tick, and you need to surround yourself with people that help you do that.
Yeah.
Or at least they themselves are doing that and realize that. And
well,
the last thing I wanted to say, because I know we're going to go soon.
Well, we're okay. I sent something to my brother-in-law. We're good till quarter after.
Okay. So. Well, something I want to say, getting back to Szymanski and what I appreciate about him, would be he gave us one of the greatest gifts we've ever had. Tom Platz.
Oh, yeah.
He gave us Tom Platz. A lot of people don't realize that. Tom Platz went to that gym. Tom Platz was originally an Olympic weightlifter, and that was the gym where the squat was the thing. That's where Tom learned his love of the squat, was through Szymanski, his
yep,
gym. And you better be having your weightlifting shoes on or you weren't coming to that gym.
Yeah.
Szymanski, that's one of the biggest reasons why, if you don't care about strength, if you don't care about any of that other stuff, the gold medals, he gave us Tom Platz. He was one of the most influential bodybuilders of all time.
Without a doubt.
So that would be my biggest thing that I love about Szymanski. There are many things I think are great about Szymanski. Tenacity. I mean, you and I are into strength, but
yep,
have you ever met anyone that wasn't a bull with the weights that wasn't? Tenacious, that didn't have that iron will?
Yeah, you have to. There's no way you can survive in this sport. I'm not going to call it a sport. I hate that word. There's no way you're going to survive in lifting without having that iron. We call it the iron will, whatever you want to call it. It's too demanding. You think, you know, for anybody that's got a wife or a girlfriend and they're like, Jesus Christ, they're unbelievable. The weights are way more demanding than any woman I've ever met in my life. Way more demanding. And the thing is, can you take the demands of that and be whatever you want to be? That's what you got to ask yourself, because when you have something that's going to claw at you all the time with no matter what you do, you're going to do this. You'll do two things. You'll either run from it, or you're going to have a deep understanding where you know that you've got to go against it all the time. And you can shake hands with it, but here's the deal. That bar doesn't give a shit if it's coming off the ground or on your shoulders and sitting, standing up.
Nope.
Same way with that stone. That stone, I've already had an injury from one. It doesn't care if it breaks your bicep off the bone. It doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
All right? What you have to do is establish that you're going to be greater than the sum of whatever you're doing. Are you going to go down? Yep. Are you going to get pulls? Yep. You might even get tears. They suck, but that's a part of this. It's a very, not only is it very demanding, it's a very dangerous type of world we're in here, because when it's good, but man, oh man, you can have some serious shit happen to you. So, you know, for all the love I have for this, I also realize, too, that, you know, it could end me, too. But I think anything in life worthwhile can end you. It all depends how hard you want to fight it, and hopefully you always have good health. I've said this before. When I'm 100 years old, I want to be able to squat 250. That's my goal. That's a long way away. But you can see where my attitude and my vision goes all the time. It's not so much to say I can lift more than you. It's the vision to say, you know what? I got to this again and again and again and again. And guess what? I beat it every time. What are you today? How, you know, I always say my goal is I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine with the business. Don't laugh, anybody, when I say that, because it's going to happen. And it'll be, the question is, how did this guy with nothing make it? Like so many other success stories, I'll tell you right now what I'll say to him in a few words. Because I worked my goddamn ass off 10 to 14 or more hours a day. I would not relent. I would not give in. And every time I thought things were getting a little bit tough, I was like, do you want to go back to do what you did? Now, that afforded me a very good life, but it was not for me. And do you want to do something that inspires you when you get up in the morning? Do you want to do something that makes you feel like you're productive? Do you want to do something that you're helping other people? Over and over again, all right? Over and over again. If you can establish this in your life, and I know we say this all the time, but there's no bull to it. It's like you can become greater than, as they say, the sum of your parts. Not only can you become greater, but you can do things to teach people. You know, James is going to have somebody now he's going to teach. It's a big thing, man. It's really a big thing. I watch Alex today. I'm watching this young man grow like crazy now. You don't think that makes me feel good that I was able to impart some of my beliefs on him and teach him? That's the most satisfying of all this stuff. And when you have something like with the both businesses here, especially with the podcast, that we have a platform that streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I know with the notes I'm getting, with what I see on my Facebook page and all over, I'm getting names of people with comments that I have no clue to who they ever were. That's how it's coming in every day. So we are taking something we love to do, and we are putting a product out there, to me, that is second to none. I have the best people in the entire universe on this show, my family. And I have the best family of listeners out there. And the thing is, our family's growing and growing. Like I say at the end of the show, we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick your fucking door in and get you. All right? And I mean that when I say it. James, take it. Whatever you want to add to that.
Well, it's just... No, it's. I think about it. I've always been in the martial arts, always read about it, never trained it, but it seems like a lot of the approach, like when you say you don't want to call it a sport, I agree.
Yep.
It's really just, instead of Jeet Kune Do, I call it barbell do, the way of the barbell. You know?
Yep.
And it really is. It is so exactly what you talk about, how you can't separate you in the gym versus you in life. It's the same thing with martial arts. You are what you are. You're practicing your art the whole time, whether it's getting a drink of water, training in the gym, driving to work, whatever you're doing, that way of your life, that challenge, not running away from challenge, realizing the challenge is a chance to put more pressure on the coal to make the diamond better.
Yep.
You know, and that, so it really has to be a lifestyle. You can't just tell yourself, well, when I go to the gym, I'm going to be
a raging, tenacious psychopath when it comes to the weights. And then when I'm out of the gym, I'm going to take it up the tailpipe from my boss and from my girlfriend and from the guy cutting me off. No. I'm not saying you got to be an aggressive jerk all the time, but if you look at the greatest lifters, the ones I've met, all the great lifters, all the people that are great at pushing themselves, mastering their and conquering their fears and weaknesses, are the nicest, mellowest people in the world. They take they take it out on the weights.
Yep.
But I think you get a bunch of lifters who have all got battle scars. They've all beaten the snot out of each other with weights. There's a level of respect in that room amongst each other.
Hell yeah.
You know, when you talk about, I blew up my knee with a 930, oh, brother, I did that with a 480 bench. You know, I know that pain. And you want to talk strength? I don't care how strong you are. Let me see you come back from an injury. Then we'll see just what kind of stones you got.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anyone can lift a lot of weight. Big deal. Get hurt and come back and then lift big weight and not let it screw you in the head.
Yep.
You know, I finally got up to the point of, like, 930 is what killed me on a yoke, and I wound up getting back up to an 1,100-pound yoke.
Oof.
You know?
Yeah.
So there you go. Take, you know, you gotta master it. You gotta conquer that fear. But I'm telling you, anyone that acts like a jerk, that's not what it's about. You know?
Yeah.
And it really is a way of life. It is like a martial art. You're right. It isn't a sport. If you compete, you're in a sport, but doesn't mean you're. I mean, think about it. I compete in Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting, strongman, all around lifting.
Yep.
What am I? You know, I'm not just a powerlifter. I'm not just a weightlifter. You know, I'm doing all those things. That's a way of life. You know, trying to find those weaknesses and trying to beat the snot out of them, because you know it's going to make you a better person.
Yep.
You know? Imagine if you weren't lifting.
I can't imagine it, though. See, that's where I'm ignorant. I can't imagine life without it. And people say to me, well, that's pretty self-absorbing, because what if something ever happened and you had to give it up? I said I'd probably fucking put one in my mouth and blow the back of my head out. And that really scares them, because I look at them and they think I'd do it. So, you know, look, the bottom line is here between a prolific Olympic lifter, and what we're talking about today is everything leads to something, whether it's good, bad, or in between. And one thing I've learned from lifting is this. It's one of the most cut and dry things you could ever get into. And I like people like that. I like living my life like that. I don't feel any reason to bullshit anybody. I don't feel any reason to lie to anybody. I don't live like that. And I very rarely have. And I'm no angel, believe me. I'm pretty fucking wild at times. And depending on who I'm circulating with, you know, we've had our share of scrapes, believe me. But there are standards I live by with the business, what I do, how I conduct myself. Because now I'm a business owner. I don't need any outside trouble. What I need to do is I need to keep increasing my presence, build a very good life for myself and all the family that's around me. James talked about the circle, is I want to help them out with their life too. And that's what it's all about. We don't offer any $1,000 programs, at least not yet. But if we had a $1,000 program, I guarantee you, you'd probably have the first 5 years of your training plotted out right in front of your face. That's worth $1,000, believe me. And when you go to get a hold of us, you won't hear some operator come on and say they no longer exist. All right? That's not going to happen. So, you know, let this be a lesson to everybody. You know, we talked about one of the very best Olympic lifters ever. All right? And we honor his memory. But you know something? All of you out there got a shot of building your own memories. Maybe you don't want to be a world champion Olympic lifter. I got it. Maybe you want to power lift. Maybe you just want to be the strongest guy or girl on the street, the one that kids really admire, the ones that want to learn any type of physical work, training, anything like that. That's fine, man. That's fine, because everybody's got different goals, and everybody is going to explore what they want to do. No problem with that. But the main thing is this. Well, every one of us every day got a chance to make our lives better. You can either concentrate on all the bad things that have happened or all the things people have done to you, or I didn't get this or I didn't get that. You want me to tell you something I've learned just from the business? And there's a one guy in particular that I bent over backwards to have on this show, and I probably should have got rid of him long before all this shit went down. But I never did. Why? Because a lot of people say I'm a very soft guy with people. I don't know if I'd say that, but I felt that, hey, you know what? I'm going to stick by this guy. Finally, it got to the point where I couldn't anymore because it was hurting the show. And when you don't show up with me and tell you're not, now I can understand people have problems. I'm not adverse to that, so don't think that. But I have my limits. And when you're under the gun every day like we are here right now, I don't want to hear any more excuses. Now, I was told this by a number of people. He's on another show, and I guess he wouldn't name me, but he was ripping a new fucking asshole in me. Why? Probably because he sees the potential of this, and he did then because he used to ask me so many questions of, I can't believe how quick you've done what you've done. Well, if you're that interested in being part of our family, you should have thought of that, because to me, that is disrespect, and you're not going to do that to me, anybody. I don't put up with, there's some things I won't put up with at all. So you're gone. And you know what, man? You fucked up bigger than you'll ever know, and you probably know you did. But when you go out and you badmouth me all over the radio, that's where I draw the line, man. Before I would have even thought about giving you a shot, you'll never come back here again. Never. So, I'll give it to you, brother.
No, I'm going to have to get going sooner than I expected.
Okay.
But no, I agree with you. You got to take care of business, and if people want the best out of you or me,
yep,
we have to,
yep,
surround ourselves with the best people for you and me.
Absolutely.
I don't have time for your negativity, but I got time to talk training. I got time.
Yep.
I don't have time to talk obstacles, but I got time to talk solutions.
Yep.
So let's work together. Let's find a way to get this done.
It's so damn easy, man. It's just stop the complicated shit. Stop the attitude. Stop being a crybaby. Whatever happened to you in the last 5 years, guess what? Today you get to start with me. Let's build a whole new world here, and it's very important. If there's anything you want to summarize, James,
no,
be my guest.
No.
Anything, you know, give out all your Facebook, anything you're on, and then let me put my stuff out and just hang on the line if you,
sure,
would, please.
If you want to, guys, anyone wants to get a hold of me, anyone wants to see what I'm up to, just come over to Strongman Archaeology Facebook page. Or if you get on YouTube, my channel is 61PWCC. Come over, see what I'm doing. I'm more interactive on the Facebook page. You can see some of the crazy stuff I do, see some of my solutions for me. They might be solutions or ideas for you. And thank you, Eric, for having me on.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure to always have you on. You're a good man, and you are part of the family, and that's what it's all about, man.
Yep.
And that's, you stick with the people that stick with you, and I don't know,
yep,
hopefully when we get done in 30 years with all this, we've established that, and we've got a crew out there that is second to none. That's my dream, and that's what I want to do, because I'm the kind of guy that still believes in loyalty. If you're loyal to me, you'll have the best friend ever had,
yep,
man.
Yep.
I'll never turn my back on you, and I'll help you with anything I can. But the first time you play games will be the last time. And, you know, you get more seasoned in this. You learn more about yourself. You learn more about people. And you're real, you know, anybody can get it pulled over them a few times. But it's like everything with lifting, with life, with relationships. You start to become, you get to be pretty, let me put it this way, you get pretty damn smart. This is Motivation Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Killer. Let's see. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. And what can I say, man? You want to learn some stuff? It's all there for you, and it's not going to cost you $1,000, $10,000, whatever it is. Now, that program I used was on the Winner Circle was what Jeffrey was using. And then, obviously, I put together some specialty programs to hit that 303 dead stop squat. So everything on there is very similar to that. So take a look at it, see what you think. You can contact me, and I will talk to anybody about it. Also, to go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at everything we've done with James. I mean, there is tons of stuff out there. You're going to get enlightened, man. If you want a little bit of enthusiasm, inspiration, we got it there for you. If there's a show you'd like to, James and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com. And I'll, well, I'm not going to leave you these five things. You can go out to, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Don't forget about that. Give us a five-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. I thank you on that. Also, you know we're streaming. We're out on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha, just to name a few of them. I put in 8 out of 9 directories. I believe it was about a week and a half ago we got accepted to 8 out of 9. I haven't heard from the 9th one yet. So we're streaming everywhere. We're going to have the best of Motivation Muscle streaming by the end of this month, from what I'm being told. So you're going to get to listen to those shows 24/7, 7 days a week. I can't wait. Also, I'm going to leave you with this. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them or give them a smile. That might be all they get. Remember, 5 words can change your life. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Thirdly, if you're going to lift, bend it, break it, squat it, pull it, you know, press it overhead, lay on your back and press it, whatever. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone says, in Blood Red, the Crusher, it says domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. And I got news for you. We don't follow anyone's. And as I say in everything I write, everything, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path, I live by those words, and I'm not kidding you. And I'm going to say a few things I've been saying for the last few days. Frank Klein, who was probably one of the greatest professors I've ever had in college, all my business courses he was involved in, and I said it in the beginning, repetition, repetition, repetition. Live by those words. Watch what will happen with your life. As my father said, and he used to say many things, but he used to say to me all the time, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge, who was my chiropractor probably for 10 years and a very good friend, he was like a father figure to me because I'd lost my father long before I met John. He used to say, keep smiling. And you think those two words mean nothing? When I say that now, it makes me grin. You could have the shittiest day in your life, and he'd say that, and I swear to God it could turn whatever was going on around you. John was a man's man. He was somebody you didn't screw with, though, believe me. He would walk everybody to the door, didn't matter how busy he was, and say, keep smiling. But most of all, John was one of the key people that helped me keep going with this business when times were tough as hell. He still had his New Hampshire accent, and I loved John like a father. I miss John. I miss our Friday afternoons when I would go over there and get adjusted. But what I really miss is what kind of man he was, what he stood for. And we would, whether we disagreed or not, we'd always leave friends. And that's what it's really about. So think about those things. Also, too, be a steward of strength, mainly. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends, because we're coming for you, man. And like I said, we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the door to hell in, and we want you to join our family and be with us for the next 30 years. James, thanks for coming on. Incredible show as always.
Thanks, Eric. It was a good time.
You're always welcome, sir, and you're always welcome here. So, as we end another show, for James Fuller, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. James will be on with us again next month. And all I can say is keep buckling up, because you wait to see what I've got the next few months coming. And I can't wait till we get into 17, because I can't wait to tell you a couple announcements once I hear they're a go. Wait to hear the news. You're going to be so psyched when you hear this. And all I can say is it's just great to love what you do. If you take anything from me when you listen here, listen to what I talk about, listen to what I love. And most people will say to me, I listen to your show for a few reasons, but two of them they always say is you got personality, and I love the way you're so driven, the way you talk, the passion you have in your voice. Well, I, you know, it might be a little bit different if we met. It could be a little bit much more raw talking, but basically when you hear me on the show, this is what you get. If we were sitting together, it'd be a lot more fun, but someday it will happen with a bunch of us. Everybody, have a great weekend. And like I said, we'll have James on in October, if you can believe that already. And go out and do something big because the world's waiting for you. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.